Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. Lord, it brings us life through your Spirit revealing to us the truth. And so we pray as we come this morning to your word, bring life to our soul through the power that is in your word, through the enlightening work of your Spirit who is in us. This is our prayer. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You've probably seen it most of your life. Those three instructions. Some of you probably ignore them. Some of you probably are oblivious that they even exist. But there are three instructions that probably every day you should see and be following. The first one, lather. The second, rinse. And the third, and maybe the most important, is repeat. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, you're probably normal. But if you've ever read the back of a shampoo bottle, on many of them, not all of them, on many of them, you'll see three instructions. Lather, rinse, repeat. And because I'm kind of weird, I looked up last night as I was studying, why do we repeat? Well, there's scientific reasons why you're supposed to repeat, but there is a conspiracy theory that some have that it's just a reason to sell more shampoo. So you can believe whichever way you want, but there are instructions, and the important one that they say is repeat. And as the scientists or the scammers will tell you, you need to repeat when you wash your hair because there is a different effect when you wash your hair the second time with the shampoo than there is the first time you wash your hair with shampoo. As I've gone through my life, I have found that I've read a lot of scripture. I've read through the Bible multiple times. I've read certain passages over and over and over. But I can tell you, the word of God that is most effective in my life are those passages that are repeated passages. There are passages that I've gone back to, that I've stated over and over, and passages that I really think are very important in my family, I will repeat them over and over. And you can ask my children, there are probably a few that they can tell you that I've repeated probably at least 300 or 400 times to them, because I think they're very important passages. I'm in a series, or at least a two-week series right now, called Verses That Have Changed My Life. I'm going to give you one more week of verses that have changed my life. And these are verses I'm giving to you. I hope you will make notes or go back to the website and listen again and make notes of verses that have changed my life, because maybe they'll change yours. But also, I hope that you jot down on your cell phone or in your notebook or in your day timer, whatever you use, verses that are important for you, so that you can learn them and repeat them and let them do the work of His Spirit in you to change you. It is repetition of the Word that brings us into change. And if you remember last week's illustration, we talked about the birds. And as the birds soar in the air, they make minor changes to their wings that help keep them in the air and navigate the winds and keep them afloat. If we as Christians do not make changes regularly, then we will crash and we will burn. Let me remind you, you're in the final weeks of Each One Reach One. Christmas time is the time to reach. So please don't neglect our goal this week that each member of our church, each participant, reach somebody. Next week, and the next couple weeks, I'm going to let you know what year 2017 will be about. I'm looking forward to 2017. Last week, we looked at some truths, and I'll quickly review them for you. I know that I'm a sinner. Romans 7:18. That nothing good dwells in me. That is my flesh. For I have the desire to do what's right, but not the ability to carry it out. A repeated verse in my life is, I know that I'm a sinner. Another repeated verse in my life is, I know that giving is the bigger blessing. And this is the one that Mr. Jimmy read this morning, that Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And let me encourage you quickly. Next Sunday morning is Christmas Sunday morning. Encourage you to be here, because this is when we look at a passage like this and we say, you know, we have an opportunity next Sunday morning to come and give worship to the Lord or stay home, or somewhere else. And I realize some of us have obligations and things, but next Sunday is a morning to say it is truly more blessed to give unto the Lord than to receive, and we want to show that. So I encourage you to be here for our worship service next Sunday morning. This is a verse, oh, daily, that we must repeat. Another truth last week was I live under authority. We looked at Romans chapter 14, verse 7. None of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. We're not here to do our own stuff. We're under the authority of God. And that has hugely transformed the way that I live. It's not really what I want to do in life. It's what he's called me and told me to do in life that matters. Two more from last week. One, I try to think like Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, do nothing from selfish ambition, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Verse 5, have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus. May we be thinking about things the way Jesus thought about things and sacrifice himself for others. Boy, that's transforming. If you're not thinking like Jesus, you're thinking for yourself, I can tell you. That's the way it happens in my life. And finally, I try to be diligent. Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Oh, may we work hard and most pointedly, may we work hard to know Jesus. And I shared last week that verse in Jeremiah chapter 29 that talks about, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. There is a seeking of God that must take place. You will not find God without seeking him through his word and his spirit opening your eyes. Remember, it's not Eastern religion where we just empty ourselves and meditate. It is seeking to know God and doing the work involved to know him. So some new verses this week. I try to do good things. As a Christian, I believe we're called to do good works, to do good things. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 says it like this. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. Now, what is he talking about there? He's talking about sowing good deeds. And he's saying, when you sow good things, you will reap good things, but you can't give up. And so many of us forget the power of time. Oh, Christian, God has given us the gift of time and faithfulness to do great works. And all you have to do is think about a garden or a discipline that you have. It takes time for the fruit to bear, but when it bears, it's worth it. Use time to your advantage to do good things and watch the fruit grow. Look at verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. You know, this is one of the lessons that Jack Franklin's taught me. He has, do a good deed every day. And y'all know him, he's probably done something good for you if you're in this room. Do a good deed every day. Do good things, Christian. And good things usually are things that you're not doing for yourself. And this is where it gets hard, because most of us live day to day to please ourselves, or to make something easier for ourselves, or to make ourselves better. But doing good works, most of the time, are doing good works for someone else, not for ourselves. Because when you do good things for yourself, it's called doing something selfishly. When you do something good for others, it's called doing a good deed. A good deed for someone else. So good thing, young folks, y'all can listen to this. No matter how old you are in life, when you sow good things, when you plant good things, generally in life, wisdom tells us, you reap good things. And this is just a principle of life. But there's more to it than just the wisdom of sowing good and reaping good. It is the fact that we're doing these things unto Jesus. It's not just coming to corporate worship, which is so valuable and precious. Don't get me wrong. But there is worship that happens outside of Sunday morning worship. Yeah, Sunday morning worship is essential for us. But there are so many acts of worship that happen outside. You know the names of people who stay late at every church function and clean up the kitchen and who take out the trash. You know the people who come early on Sundays and get all the things set up. You know the people, you can tell them by the names, the people who sacrificed their life in America and have gone to another country to bring the gospel. I had a church member drive to Baton Rouge one night after church to help me work on my, something happened to my car. Help me work on my car. And these are just good deeds that go unnoticed by most. But here's the thing. They are noticed by God in heaven, who sees our hearts. There are people praying for me every day on their knees, every morning, every night, that I never see. But God sees you. There are prayers that I've prayed for you that you'll never see. You'll never hear about. But God sees them. You see, good deeds are not to be seen. That was the problem that the Pharisees and the scribes ran into. They wanted people to see their good deeds. And what did Jesus say? He said, you have your reward. People have seen your good deeds. There's your reward. But he said, when you do your good things, you go into a closet. You do your things in private. You don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Because your Father in heaven will see and reward you. This is good deeds. Titus chapter 3 says this. This is a trustworthy saying. Now when the scripture says this is a trustworthy saying, that means we need to key in and say, okay, this is about to be good. So when the apostle says, now this is good, that's where you key in here. This saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, Titus, so that those who have believed in God might be careful to devote themselves to what? You see it? That means there's more to doing church than just showing up for a church service and then leaving. There's more to church than just being a spectator. It's coming and doing good within the body of believers that are gathering here. Sometimes we show up so that someone can be encouraged because they've done something good for us. You ever thought about that? Sometimes you show up and you come and you say, you know, I can't just come to church and take. I need to give when I'm there. So what can I do for somebody? The guy that comes to church, Mr. Donald back there, hands out candy every week. Simple. But he comes to be a blessing. And all the kids, where's the candy man? Where's the candy man? Doing something good. His name's not going to get in the paper for that. But he's done something good. This is Christianity. It's more than just morality. It's letting the work of God move through you. And act through you. What a beautiful thing it is. Let me keep going. In this verse, that's so good. So that those who, I want and desire on these things, that those who have believed in God might be careful to devote themselves to good works. And listen how he ends it. These things are two things. What are they? They're excellent and they're profitable. What are they? Two things. Good deeds are excellent and they're profitable. That, why are they excellent? Why is doing good excellent? Because you don't have to do them. And they're excellent in the way that that they come across bringing glory to God. When we sin, we deny who God is. When we do good deeds, we exemplify who God is. Let me give you a perfect example. The Father in heaven loved his people here on earth. And so what did he do? He did something good. Tell me, church, what did he do? He saw a people who were sinful, who had broken his commands, who were in need, and he did what? He sent his son. And we celebrate this time of year. Born in a manger, grew up, and did what? Died on the cross, which was a good thing, so that we all might look to him who died and paid our sin debt. When I believe in him and be reconciled to God, that is excellent. Because it brings us and reconciles us to God. It brings us peace with God because the Son paid. That's an excellent thing. Now, not only are good deeds excellent, but they're also profitable. That means they gain something. When you do a good deed, not only is it excellent and model who God is, but it's profitable in the sense there's something good to be done from it. Now, the candy man, he's good because he lets the dentist be paid. It's profitable for the dentist. When we come to work and we do good deeds, there's profit. Now, go back to that other verse. Who gets the profit of the good deeds we do? Well, let's talk through this. Who gets the profit from the good deed that you will do today? Because I know y'all are all going to go do a good deed today. Probably more than one. Who gets the profit? Well, the person you serve will get profit because you've benefited them. I can tell you. Brother came out, David came out, helped me work on my truck last night. Got a problem, he came out and helped me fix it. Well, I can tell you, I profited. I was able to drive home. Where are you, David? There you go. Right. Did you feel good when you left last night? Of course. Did you profit? Yes. I profited. My car was fixed and we got to drive home. David profited. He felt like he did something good. But who else profited? The Lord. When we do good deeds, the Lord profits because love is being shown and the character of God, the excellence is being shown. So not only does the person you're blessing profit, not only do you profit, but the Lord profits because He is magnified and His character is shown. Why should we be about good works? Because it's all good. It is excellent and it is profitable. Now y'all go do some good works. This changed me. Do good. All right, I gotta go, man. I could preach that all day. Y'all want me to? No, I'm not going to answer that. I not only am I here to do good things, I am here to equip you. This is something we talked about in our men's group Wednesday night. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Let me just read this to you. This is to combat some false thinking and false, maybe even understanding. Hear this. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. And verse 12 says, he gave them to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So he gave all of these leaders in the church and in the early church, he gave them to do what? To equip the saints. That means, who are the saints? Are those the people who died before us and who are on the clouds? Who are the saints? You are the saints. The saints are God's people. And the Lord gave teachers, shepherds, evangelists to equip the saints. My role is not to save the world. My role is not to do all the Christian work. I'm not the professional Christian as the pastor. Right? I am the equipper of the saints. So this changes the way that I do pastoral ministry. My role? Fix you up. My role is to fix you up. Anybody ever been in whitewater rafting? All right? Anybody ever been hiking? All right, anybody ever gone on a run? You better gear yourself up for those things. You better be equipped. If I went running yesterday in my mountain boots, I'd be limping today, right? If I went whitewater rafting in a winter coat, I'd probably be in trouble. I'd be paddling like this, right? That's not gonna work. The outfitter has to equip the people for their work. I'm the pastor. Brother Chaz, pastor. Brother Bill's teacher. Miss Carolyn's teacher. We are to equip the saints for your work of ministry. So saints, do the work of ministry. do the work of ministry. We're going to go on. Romans 10, 17. I need to hear the word. I need to hear the word. Now, this is an important one. Y'all know Romans 10, 17. I'll read it for you. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. If I want to continue trusting and believing who God is, what do I need to continue doing? Hearing the word of Christ. Now, this is not magic or mysticism or formulaic. This is just saying, if I want to continue in faith and my faith to grow, if I want to believe even in the first place, which is a context of this verse, then I need to hear the word of God. Faith does not come. My faith does not come by ignoring God's word or playing tennis. I don't get faith by playing tennis or watching Star Wars. That doesn't encourage my faith. I don't get faith by showing up at church. I don't get faith by cleaning up the kitchen. I don't. Where does my faith come from? Through hearing the word of God and His Spirit taking His word and enlightening that in my spiritual mind. That's where faith comes from. So listen to me, Christian. If you feel like, man, I'm just going through a season of doubt. I feel like I'm in the desert right now. I feel so far from God. I don't have a magic pill for you, but I do have wisdom for you. Hear the word of God. And don't just pick up a book, read it, and walk away. Read it. Think about it. Go ask people's opinions about it. Find a sermon on it. Read a commentary on it. Hear the word of God. Don't read words on a page. Hear the word of God. Let it do its work in you. And as you hear it and study it and understand it, let the Spirit do His work in you so that the Word transforms you and your mind is renewed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will know, be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will. I, as your pastor, if I ignore the Word of God, I am lost. I need God's word. You know, they say absence makes the heart grow fonder, but it also makes us forget. An absence from God's word, we will forget the truth of God's word. And oh, friend, do not miss the truth of God's word. Another one. I need to love. Look at 1 Peter 4:8. It is easy to be selfish in life and to focus around us, but there is a wiring in me that needs to love. And here it is, 1 Peter 4:8. Above all. Now, when the apostle says above all, man, you got the key. Now, all scriptures God breathed, but there are some passages that are more applicable to certain situations and things in our lives. And this is one of those above alls. Check this out. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Why? Well, because love covers a multitude of sins. Now, Peter's words here are to help us and to remind us that sometimes, even in a Christian's heart, we can grow mean. Any Christians in here been mean this week? Most of y'all are lying this week, too. Anybody been cross a little bit? A little bit ugly? said some things you, you wish you could have taken back. I give to you a word that is changing me, and it is this: above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Because you know what? There are other people around you who may be Christian too, who have probably been ugly and yelled at somebody they shouldn't have yelled at, and looked at somebody the way they shouldn't have. Above all, keep loving. And this even the tense of this is, it's a perfect tense. It's a continued tense. It's keep loving. And here's the reason. We go back to that first one. I know I'm a sinner. And look, Christians aren't the perfect people. They're the people that keep loving. They're the people that continue seeking after God. Christians are not ones who've prayed a prayer and then everything's right. Christians are the ones who love God and keep loving God and keep loving people and continue in the faith. So Christian, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Your family needs you to keep loving them. And you need to be loved continually. And the reason is because love covers a multitude of sins, and we are a multitude of sinners. Amen? Aren't we? Yeah, we are. And we need love. We need to love each other. Now, notice what it doesn't say. Above all, be right. That's not what it says. And, you know, because you can be right and be wrong. Right, men? Y'all know how that works. It doesn't say, above all, be nice to people. Because sometimes love ain't nice, is it? It's not. Sometimes love ain't nice. Nice can send people to hell. It doesn't say, above all, be a good person. It doesn't say that. Good people go to hell too. You all know them. Lots of them, probably. Above all, love. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Now, the great thing about thinking through this is you. Why do we need to keep loving? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Because we're reflecting the love that was given to us to cover a multitude of sins. And we talk about this. Jesus came, he died on the cross, he bled, demonstrating his love for us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know that, Romans 5:8. Jesus Christ died to demonstrate his love for us, because it covered a multitude of my sins. And so as I come to the cross, I say, oh, Father, thank you for forgiving me. I come to the cross. I despise the world. And I come to the cross and say, Father, I'm yours. Forgive me through the blood of your Son. And this is where Christianity begins. This is being born again when our desire, when our heart's been changed. Has your heart been changed, friend? Do you desire to know God above all things? Because love has covered you and made you new. Which leads us to another passage. Y'all enjoying these? These are just good. Oh man, these are good. Love has covered, God has loved me, so I love others because he's called me to be an ambassador for him. God doesn't have a mouth. God is spirit. He doesn't have a mouth. God doesn't have legs. He doesn't have arms. But he does have us. And I got a mouth. And I got legs. And I got arms. And I have the truth. He's called me as an ambassador. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. Oh, amen is right. See that, right? God has reconciled me unto himself through the blood of Jesus. Reconciled me, and then he gave me. Some of us don't look at it as a gift, do we? God made me an ambassador. I don't want to be an ambassador. I can't do that. We got the Moses syndrome. I can't do that. I can't talk. God said, I don't care. I called you. You go do it. You're my ambassador. I called you. It's not our choice. God's calling. Listen, if we could get this through our head, things would change. God's calling is not our choice. God's will and his calling are what, church? Irrevocable. We don't change it. If God called you and made you his ambassador, it's not your choice to say, yeah, I got other things to do, God. We as Christians are his ambassadors. It's not our choice. We don't have the right to remain silent. That's the American way, not God's way. We have the right to be his ambassador because he said so. He's called me to be an ambassador. And he's given us the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, the more I read scripture, the more I realize I have so little control and authority in life. And it's because God loves me that I have so little control and authority. Because you see, here's the deal. If God leaves us to ourselves, you just go look at the world. Left to themselves, what does the world do? They stuff their face, and they're selfish, and they kill people, and they blow people up with bombs. That's what the world does left to themselves. But God comes, and he changes us, and he changes our nature, and he gives us good and right law, and the word, and principles, and truth, and wisdom. And he says, look, you stop acting like you want to act, and you come, be like Jesus. I've called you for this purpose. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And I say, thank you, God, for saving me from myself and the foolishness of my own thoughts and desires. The heart is deceitfully wicked and desperately sick. Who can know it? Yeah. He's called me as an ambassador. And because he has, this is a good one. And this is one that you need to hear. I need you. And I look at all of your faces in this room. And I can just look at each of your face and say, you've encouraged me this way. You've helped me this way. You have made me smile when you did this. I appreciate you saying those words to me that you said to me when you said them. I appreciate you just showing up for this. It meant a lot to me. I need you. And you may think, well, I'm just another person at church. Not a big deal, and you're not a big deal, I'll tell you that. But you are good for your brothers and sisters around you. And here's the passage, Proverbs 27:17. It says this, for as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We know that one, don't we, Stephen? As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Your brothers and sisters need you. The importance of men's ministry on Wednesday nights, I can't even tell you how much the men mean to me. Ladies' ministry. What would Awana be without our loving teachers? What would I be without Belinda and Sherry? Brother Chas, telling me what to do. I need you. And I hope that each of you recognize your need for your brothers and sisters. Because we can go to work, we can go to home, we can go to our family, we can go to our friend's house, we can go to the ball game, we can go shopping. But that's not church. You need your church. You need your church family. And they need you. Oh man, this is life-changing. I try to get to church every time the doors open. Not because I have to or it makes me a better person. Because it does make me a better person. But it doesn't make me think I'm a better person. It just makes me better. So I want to be here. Finally, my final verse for the day. John the Baptist said, love it. John 3:30. He must increase, I must decrease. Boy, if there's a verse that's changed my life, right here. Lord, use me to increase the name of Jesus. That's a daily prayer. Lord, use me to increase the name of Jesus. Lord, use me to increase the name of Jesus. Lord, use me to increase the name of Jesus. You can pray this one every day, every meal, every hour. If you can pray this and think through this and agree with the words of John the Baptist, he must increase, I must decrease, your life will change. And this has changed my life. In the end, it's all about Jesus. Above all, show love. Why? Because we want to show the love of Jesus. May God's people do good works. Why? Because Jesus is the good deed doer, and we want to show Jesus. I mean, all of these verses, you put them together and you say, it's all about Jesus. Sinner, if you're here this morning, you've never responded to the gospel call of turning away from the world and turning to Jesus, repenting of your sin, and humbling yourself before the King, would you do that today? Christian, if you're here this morning, would you think about how your life can change that you might increase Jesus more? That you might magnify the name of Jesus? Psalm 34:3. Jason? Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Increase Jesus. Church, let's do this together. This Christmas season, let's increase Jesus. This 2017, let's increase Jesus. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, help us to increase Jesus. Oh, our goal to increase and magnify the name of Jesus. Lord, make us more like you. We pray in his name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.